When I was 7, I explored the idea of following in Britney Spears' footsteps. My parents wouldn't let me buy her CDs. They were like, is she asking someone to hit her? But I'd heard enough of her music at friends' houses to know that I wanted to do what she did. I'd spend hours in my room after school practicing my singing and choreographing routines to whatever I had playing in my boombox. I was sure I had what it took. As you can probably guess, things didn't go that way. It turns out you actually have to be able to sing and dance to be a singer and a dancer. I eventually faced the harsh reality that I would never have what it takes to rock a red leather jumpsuit and a high pony in a music video. It was hard, but I coped. I'd guess you have a similar story. You had your own wild aspirations, only to one day confront the realization that Tyra Banks wasn't going to discover you at the mall while you were shopping at American Eagle with your mom and ask you to be on the next season of America's Next Top Model. We're all stunningly confident as children. We've yet to become fully self-conscious, and we have little concept of the potential for failure. So we declare our aspirations unafraid of embarrassment or the possibility that they won't come to fruition. This self-assurance is part of the wonderful charm of kids. As we grow, it necessarily fades as we start the natural process of reconciling our plans with our actual potential. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like if we didn't go through that process. What if we clung to the out-of-the-realm-of-possibility dreams we had as kids and spent our lives pursuing them, no matter the consequences? I'd be selling EPs of my latest acoustic cover of Toxic on Instagram, and you'd still be learning how to smize in your mirror at your parents' house. It wouldn't be pretty. As we get older, we're supposed to tell ourselves hard things. We're supposed to grow up, assess our strengths, do things we don't want to do, and realize we're not as special as we think we are. We're supposed to get out of our houses, get over ourselves, and create a life that's productive and meaningful. The confidence we have in ourselves should change from juvenile, blind adoration to grounded awareness. A truth that we all come to terms with at some point in our adolescence is that we don't have what it takes for one thing or another. In other words, we're not enough. We don't have enough talent, a high enough IQ, enough coordination, or enough facial symmetry to do the thing we were sure we would end up doing. Facing our inadequacies is crucial for appropriate development. And so I find it silly and downright dangerous that we women are fed this phrase so constantly today. You are enough. The vast network of lifestyle bloggers, motivational speakers, fitness gurus, and spiritual Sherpas who live on our phones relay this message daily. We are enough for our kids, enough for our job, enough for our husband, enough for God, enough for ourselves. There's nothing that needs to be added or taken away, we hear. We are perfect the way we are. We know it's not true. We realized this early on when we abandoned our dreams of pop stardom, and in a different way, we realize it today. Just like I wasn't enough to be the next Britney, I'm not enough to fulfill other roles either, even though they're real. I'm not enough to be all the things I need to be at once: a good mom, a successful writer, a present wife, a solid friend, a faithful Christian. It's just as crazy for me to think I'm enough for these things as it was for you to want to be a 5'2" runway model. This time, it's not just about talent. We may have the abilities to do most of these things well. It's also about capacity. We don't have enough time or energy to be all that we need to be for the world around us. And when we don't measure up to our or others' standards, we drown in the dregs of self-loathing and insecurity. To numb the pain, we open Instagram, scroll for a few minutes, then click on our favorite self-help blogger and check her latest post, which reads, "You are enough." Ah, balm for the weary heart. We're flooded with warm feelings of gratitude as we read her caption, reminding us that we're strong, powerful, capable women whose dreams matter and whose stretch marks are beautiful and who are so much more than just moms to needy kids and wives to needy husbands, and are perfect and wonderful just the way we are. So true, we think to ourselves. I am. We're comforted, but only for a moment. The next second, when we look at the monitor and see our supposed-to-be sleeping toddler wiggling just minutes after we've put him down, or remember that we have about 15 pages left on the assignment due tomorrow, or look in the mirror and hate the body we see, our feelings of self-assurance quickly fade. Many of us find ourselves in this cycle daily, feeling burned out, seeking encouragement from superficial sources, then feeling better only to feel worse a few hours later. This is exactly the consequence of getting sucked into what I call the toxic culture of self-love. The culture of self-love tells us that we are enough, and that until we love ourselves into realizing our enoughness, nothing in our lives will be right. We're told a lack of self-love is why we haven't started that company we've been thinking about. It's why we're settling for the guy we don't really want to be with. It's why we haven't lost the weight or bought the car or done the thing we've been dreaming of doing. Because we have low self-esteem, struggle with self-doubt, and can't kick this addictive habit of self-criticism, we're unable to live the lives we were meant to live. Dancer and actress Julianne Hough put it this way: "I think every girl needs to love herself, regardless of anything. Like, if you're having a bad day, if you don't like your hair, if you don't have the best family situation, whatever, you have to love yourself, and you can't do anything until you love yourself first." All of our successes, the thinking goes, depend on self-love.